Hello, this is Tyler Fender. Thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
Luke 9, verse 61 says, "And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but first let me go bid them farewell which are home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom." I had somebody stop me between service and say, "What does that mean?" I said, "It means probably exactly what you think it means." And I know that that's not some Krispy Kreme message, but Jesus said, "You're not fit, not to serve, not to work." He said, "You're not fit to be in the kingdom of God." I want to preach for just a few moments on the subject, unfit faith. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, get your faith in shape. You may be seated. Faith comes in all types, all forms, big faith, little faith, mustard seed faith, great faith, mountain moving faith. People that think they operate in faith, but it's really not faith. It's just thought, positive thinking, but there's no real belief or action behind it. There are people that love to grab the plow for certain periods of their life, but they don't have any staying power. Starting power, everybody has. Staying power, very few have. I encourage you, don't start unless you plan to stay. Don't grab hold of the plow unless you're ready to plow through the most difficult of times. How many of you have ever worked outside in South Texas? It's tough. It's hot. I was raised right here in South Texas. Seguin, San Antonio, Floresville, Stockdale, all of these little areas, Lockhart, Luling, South Texas. And when I was probably 12 or 13 years of age, my dad started having me sling hay. And it was funny that dad always got to drive the truck. And me and Sean would be out there. And Sean smartened up real quick, and God called him to the air conditioner to trade stocks and be an executive pastor. But I'm out there slinging hay. I was 12, 13. He's 16, 17. And my dad would say, "Hey, I bought some hay." And he never would tell us how much hay. And I'm not talking about the big round bales you get to move on a tractor and be in the air conditioner. I'm talking about the 80-pound square bales. Anybody ever haul any hay? All right, I'm taking notice next time I need to haul some. Him. And so I remember one time he said, "I just bought some hay in Stockdale. It's in July or August. It's hotter than, you know, hot." And he said, "Let's go pick up this hay." And he always says it like so non-confrontational. Like it's just going to be like, "Hey, just 5-10 minutes, we'll be out there." And we pull out into hundreds of acres. And I said, "Dad, how many bales are out there?" He said, I think it's over 2,000. 2,000? I look at Sean. Sean looks at me. We sling hay that first day. And then Dad says, "Hey, I need y'all to go get hay. I need y'all to go haul hay tomorrow, but I'm not going to be able to go with you." Oh, how convenient. You pointed us. You showed us where the field was the first day. You rode around in the truck the first day, and now you can't go. And so he said, "Get some of your friends to help you." Now, I'm going to tell you, I had a lot of friends when I was 13, but I didn't have any real friends. "Hey, what you doing tomorrow?" "Oh, nothing, man. What you want to do? Hang out? Want to go to the mall? Want to go to the movies? You want to go to the Galaxy?" I remember the Galaxy over on 410 and 35. "Now I want to go haul hay." "No, I'm busy. I'm sorry. I forgot. I had this thing that I've got to do." And I remember me, Sean, and my cousin were out there hauling hay. And then it dawned on us, why are we hauling hay in the heat? Let's just haul hay at night. So I told Dad, I said, "Hey, do you mind if we haul hay all night? I don't mind at all as long as the hay's hauled." So we'd sleep all day, and we'd get up at 10 p.m. when it was 85 degrees instead of 105 degrees, and we'd haul hay all night long. I said that to say this. There are some of us that don't mind working as long as the conditions are comfortable. And a lot of us bargain with God like I bargained with Dad. That I don't mind working as long as the work schedule fits my schedule. As long as I don't have to sacrifice so much. But how many of you know that the best things that God has for us are going to come with extreme sacrifice? Are going to come when nobody else is plowing. When somebody tries to plow and the ground is so hard that they say, you know what, I think I'll go to an easier place. The problem is when you go to the easy place, it's crowded with all of the lazy people. But for those of us that don't mind plowing through some of the hard, fallow ground that life has, we understand it is through the hardness of my sacrifice. It is through the difficult times when I've got to press through and push that plow and push that tiller when it doesn't seem like it's going to go. And it's when I'm sweating. It's through the hardest of times that I get the greatest blessings of God. And so I encourage you, don't just start, stay. Don't touch the plow. Get behind the plow. Now, the devil will do everything he can do to keep you from grabbing hold of that plow. The devil will make every excuse. Most of us never grab the plow because we are so full of excuses on the way to the plow that we never actually touch it. So the devil does everything he can do to keep us from grabbing it. And then once we lay our hands on it and grab it, he does everything he can do to make us let it go. And so when you grab the plow, listen, if the devil knows and has so much faith that if I let Brandon grab that plow and he starts turning over the fallow ground and the hard places and God sends the rain, if the devil knows that when I touch that plow that I'm going to produce a rain by what I till, then I'm here to encourage you. You ought to take a note from the devil. Sometimes the devil's got more faith than we do. And you got to understand that when I touch it, when I grab hold of it, if I'll keep my focus on the things of God, and I'll serve when nobody else serves, and I'll work when nobody else works, and I'll get through the tough days of plowing in my life, understand that every time that we plow, something good and the windows of heaven begin to open. Somebody say, fit faith. And so when we look towards what we're studying here today, and we look at the hardened ground, and we look at the fallow ground that we're supposed to turn over. Whenever I hear the plow here in Luke 9, I always go back to Genesis chapter 2, and we'll spend just a moment here. These are the generations, verse 4, of the heavens of the earth, when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. So God said, I cannot open the heavens because there's nobody to till the ground. Meaning that tilling the ground has an immediate response from heaven. That when I begin to till and turn over and prepare the atmosphere and prepare where I am, there is a God in heaven that is not only looking for the best praiser and the best worshiper. He's looking for somebody that have put in the work to say, God, I'm going to do my part. I'm going to flip over the ground and put a seed in and cover that seed. And once you see me till the ground, God, I want you to roll back the windows of heaven and pour me out a rain. God had not caused it to rain because there wasn't anyone to till the ground. God is looking for three people. He's looking for somebody to work. We hear a lot of people say good things come to those who wait. I promise you, I don't know, but I'm sure a lazy person wrote that. It's easy to take the responsibility and just say, I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting doesn't mean you're sitting there twiddling your thumbs, waiting on God to do everything. Waiting on the Lord means waiting, like a wait staff at a restaurant. You are taking care of what the Lord wants. You are taking care of what the Lord needs. And so while I'm waiting on God, I'm not sitting on a pew. I've got my hands held up in praise. I'm worshiping. I'm praying. You say, why are you still worshiping? I'm tilling the ground. I'm doing what I can do. I'm working the soil, because when I work the soil, the heavens open up. When I work what God has placed in front of me, the heaven opens up. Number two, God is looking for someone to prepare the soil. That's a messy process. You're going to get dirty. You're going to get sweaty. I don't know how Dad does it. Dad can go to the ranch and work like a crazy man for 10 hours. And when he steps back in the office, I mean, it looks like he's getting ready to go do an interview on CNN. I'm out there for 3 minutes, and I look like I've been through a war. And I got my shirt untucked, and I got dirt all over my face. It's a messy process to work. It's a messy process to sweat. It's a messy process to get out there and to push that plow. It's a messy process. It's difficult to do the things that nobody else wants to do. That's why I always laugh when people say, I can't find a job. No, you can't find a job that pays you $20 an hour and lets you stand in the air condition. That's what you can't find. But you know where they'll hire you? On these road crews. Shoveling 140 degree asphalt every day. You know where you can get a job? Riding on the back of a garbage truck when it's 118 degrees. It's the value of sweat equity that, God, I'm willing to do something that nobody is willing to do. I don't mind if I've got to put my blood, sweat, and tears in it. If I turn the ground over, you did not send the rain because you could not find a tiller. But Lord, when you saw me, you have found somebody that if I'm the only one on the face of the earth, I'm going to wake up turning over the earth. I'm going to wake up praising until something happens. I'm going to wake up serving until something happens. I don't mind the sweat equity. One who works, number two, one who prepares the soil. Third is one who prepares the atmosphere. For this whole year, I've been talking to our leadership team, and I've said it 100 times, that God has called us to set the atmosphere, and God shifts the atmosphere. One of the most frustrating places you can be as a believer is expecting God to do something and God is waiting on you to do something. That your expectation is that God's going to move and God's expectation is that I'm going to move. And so there's a stalemate because God cannot move twice. God moves and then we move, and then God moves and then we move. And so there's a lot of people frustrated because we thought waiting on God was letting God do everything. But God said, with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible, meaning that God only deals with the impossible once man has dealt with the possible. I cannot help you until you've helped yourself. I cannot help you. I cannot open the heavens. Brandon, you can't open the heavens, but I can. But what you can do is you can get behind that plow, put your hands on it, and start down a row. And when I see you're serious about turning over the ground, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven. But when was the last time you tilled? When was the last time you plowed? When was the last time you set your face like a flint? When was the last time you plowed a field and not just a row? Because a lot of us want to till one little row or two or three rows, and then we want to sit back and say, all right, God, I did my part. And God said, no, no, no. There's 100 acres of plowing that needs to be done. And when you get that plowed, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to roll these windows back. I'm going to give you provision. I'm going to give you the anointing. I'm going to save your family. I'm going to say, there's so many of us that want God to do everything. I loved it when my kids could feed themselves, because that meant Mandy had to quit waking me up to go feed them. No, that didn't happen. I'm just kidding. I loved it when my kids could tie their own shoes. I loved it when my kids could dress themselves. I loved it when my kids learned how to do those things on their own. But once they showed me they could do it, me as a father would not do it for them any longer. Can I encourage you today that there's some things that God has shown you. There's some things that God has taught you. There's some things that you have learned throughout your education and maturation as a believer, that you cannot expect God to keep doing the same things over and over and over again. God says, I've seen you do it once, and I'll see you do it again. Just a light bulb in my spirit. We sing that song quite a bit here at Living Way. I've seen him do it once, I'll see him do it again. We say that about God, but can God say that about us? I've seen Brandon overcome that obstacle. I don't have to step in every time that obstacle shows up. Why? Because I already showed him how to navigate through it. I already showed him how to speak to that mountain. I already showed him how to make a way where there is no way. And I'm here to tell you that I've been living for God, sold out since 1999. And when I put my hands on that plow, I'm not telling you it's been easy, but I'm telling you I have lived under an opened window of heaven longer than I have lived under a closed heaven. An open open window is much more the way to live. And it all comes down to the window stays open as long as you plow. Go back to Genesis chapter 2. Very interesting. The Bible says that there was no man to plow the ground. And so the Bible says that from underneath the earth, God caused a mist. It was God's sprinkler system. But this is what is, this is the revelation that God showed me there, is that when you step out and you begin to plow, what is under you shuts off and what is over you opens up. But as long as you won't plow, what is over you closes up and what is underneath you opens up. I don't need to tell you that what's underneath you should not be a part of your life. It is supposed to stay under your feet. And so when you get to plowing and you get to working and you get to serving and you've got your face set like a stone and nothing can deter you and nothing can slow you down, the windows of heaven are open and God is raining down every spiritual gift, every physical gift. But the moment you quit working is the moment the windows of heaven close. And now everything from under you starts coming up. You ever have a septic leak? Not a good thing. You ever have the septic? We lived in a house one time where the septic backed into the bathtub. I was never the same again after that. Knowing that the place that I was supposed to be getting clean from the water that was coming down, that something affected what was underneath and it started coming up. I'm here to talk to somebody that's dealing with the septic issues of life. If you don't like the septic issue that you're going through, then you need to start plowing. You need to get your faith fit. You need to get your faith right with God. Because when you get a fit faith, it is a working faith. It is a plowing faith. It is a serving faith. And when that happens, everything underneath you is shut up. And everything above you is released in Jesus' name. Somebody say fit faith. Turn to your second choice neighbor and tell him, get your faith right. Turn to your third choice neighbor. You didn't even know you had one of those. That's the person you've been avoiding all service long. If Adam had been working, God creates Adam. God creates Adam to praise. God creates Adam to worship, does he not? A replacement for Lucifer, the worship angel. Gabriel, Michael, Lucifer, the three archangels. Gabriel's the word angel. Michael's the warfare angel. Lucifer's the worship angel. Lucifer gets kicked out. God said, I have to have worship. He creates worshipers. That's us. But how many of you know worship is work? That's why you can't allow them to work for you. They're working for themselves. They're worshiping their God. They're keeping the window of heaven open above them. And I've always thought this, that if Adam had been working, if Adam had been tilling, if Adam had been taking care of where God had planted him, then he probably would not have gotten into the trouble that he got into. The same thing with Eve. If Eve had been tending to the things of God in her life, she would not have had time to talk to the adversary. I need to holler at somebody in this moment right now and tell you, maybe the reason that you hear the devil so clear is that you're not busy enough. Have you ever been so focused, laser focused on what you were doing that people were talking to you and you had to ask them a second, a third, a fourth time, what'd you say? Or they had to say, hey, stop what you're doing. I'm talking to you. We need some believers that once you put your hands to the plow, it doesn't matter what's going on around you. It's bouncing in and out of your ears. Why? I don't have time to stop and talk to you, devil, because I've got a plan. I've got a purpose. I've got a destiny. I've got a target. But Adam and Eve, they sure had a lot of time to talk. But if they'd been plowing, they would have been talking. The old saying, idle hands are the devil's playground. The Bible says, whatever you find your hand to do, do it with all of your might, for there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. God said, if you're going to work, leave it all on the line. Lay it all out there. Don't hold back. If you flip burgers at McDonald's, number one, you ought to thank God for a job. You ought to thank God for a J-O-B. You say, Pastor Brandon, I only make $8 an hour. I can't live off that. You are correct, sir. You are correct, ma'am. You cannot live on an entry-level job. Let me get closer and say it, because I know this is probably going to make some people mad. You were never meant to live on $8 an hour. You are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And just because that is my entry level does not mean I stop there. Your plan is to be an assistant manager in 60 days, a manager in 90 days, a regional manager in 6 months, and a franchisee in 2 years. You ought to make it your mind right now. I'm going to be the best burger flipper ever, ever. I'm going to salt those fries to perfection. I'm not going to be stingy with the sauces. I'm going to give them out liberally. Old McDonald's not hurting. I'm going to be a blessing. I'm going to show up early. I'm going to smile. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to smile at that manager. And he's going to say, man, this guy's got a good, and of course I got a good attitude, manager, because you're going to be working for me within 6 months. Young people, no millennials are plowing much. You grab a plow and everybody's going to notice. You start turning over some ground and more than just God is going to take notice. What do you mean you wake up early? You work the early shift. You're not working 16 hours a week. You're working 38 hours a week. Man, you're showing up early. You're showing up late. You're working a second job. Yeah, I'm doing all of that because I don't plan on staying where I'm at very long. God has a plan for me and I can work myself into the next level. I can plow myself into the next season. I can serve myself. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, fit faith. Fit faith. The mist came from below when the rain, the favor of God, was waiting on someone to work from above. Verse 7, the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Before you can till the ground in front of you, you have to till your own ground. The Bible says that man was made from the dirt, and now God tells us to be tillers of the dirt. Before you do it for someone else, before you do it in front of you, make sure that you pray for yourself. Make sure that you keep yourself ready. Make sure that you plow the hard places of your life. Make sure that you get rid of the thing. Make sure that you pray a purging prayer every once in a while. God, take everything that is not of you. Take it out of me. Why? That's me plowing. That's me preparing. Because if I can get this old hardened heart soft, if I can make it pliable, the windows of heaven are going to open up over me, and God is going to say, Brandon, you've been plowing for everybody else, and I've been waiting on you to plow yourself. The ground we must till first is our own lives. And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put Adam, whom he had formed. So where are you supposed to till next after you till yourself? You are supposed to till the ground where God plants you. You will never see God's best tilling fields he didn't call you to. My uncle one time, I think I shared this story a few months ago. My uncle one time, Uncle Johnny, my grandpa left town. He was an engineer on the New York Central Railroad, and he left my Uncle Johnny, who was 7 years Bishop Senior. He left him in charge of planting soybeans. So he went and showed him the field. This is the field that you're going to till. This is the field that you're going to plow, disc, and ready, and plant those soybeans. This is the field. You got it, Johnny. Yes, Dad, I got it. Grandpa went off for a few weeks on his job, came back, went out to look at his field and said, Johnny, I don't see any soybeans. Johnny said, yeah, they're not in that field, Dad. They're in that field. Grandpa said, that's not our field. That's our field. When my granddad went to explain to the owner of that field, he said, Mr. Fender, I thank you for the gift of soybeans. Can I preach for a moment? That sometimes, oh my God, I'm going to preach myself happy. Sometimes the enemy doesn't know what to do. And so he starts trying to get you to sow in the wrong field. But the Bible says that I'm going to live in homes that I did not build. And I'm going to have somebody sow some seed in a field that I didn't sow. I'm going to make sure that I sow in my field. I'm going to make sure that I work the ground where God has planted me. But while I'm working in this field, little did I know that God confused the enemy. And I've got a harvest in a place that I did not even sow. You will reap where you have not sown. You will reap where you have not tilled. You will reap where you have not plowed, but you've got to plow where you are planted. When you plow when you are planted, when you till where God has called you to be, you're going to start seeing the blessing of God creep up everywhere. I'm never surprised that God blesses me, but I'm surprised every day how he blesses me. Out of the ground came forth every tree, every fruit. Verse 9, every tree, every fruit came out of the ground that was tilled. That means whatever we need from God can be produced by our tilling, by our serving, by our working the ground. Can I encourage you? A lot of your prayer is wasted asking for things that God is not going to do for you. There's four answers to prayer very quickly. Number one is yes. That's what we want when we pray. God, I need you to do this. Yes, I'll do that. Boom, we're on our way. Second answer is no. That's when we find out how mature we really are as Christians for God to tell us no and for us not to have a Holy Ghost hissy fit. Come on, if you have a teenage girl, slamming door. The first time they slam the door at your house, take it off the hinges. They don't get a door anymore. No. The third, it's a tough one, wait. And I told this to a young man this week at camp. Wait means one thing. It's not ready, or you're not ready, or maybe both. But I love the fourth one because it fits my personality so much. Get up and do it yourself. I know I wouldn't get no amen there. Sometimes we pray, Jehovah God, God of the universe, you flung the stars in the sky, you created the cattle on 1,000 hills and the hills too and the gold in the hills. This is what I need you to do. And God says, get up and do it yourself. But God, it's a spiritual thing. I can't do it. If you have to understand that you don't have to do exactly what needs to be done to bring about the result that you need, that I can literally get out tomorrow and start plowing a field that has nothing to do with the harvest that I need. And while I'm plowing this field, God says, I just appreciate Brandon having something to do. I appreciate the fact that he's not waiting on me to do everything. I appreciate the fact that he's not waiting on the, he just said, God, until you give me the answer, I'm going to plow so the windows of heaven can be open. And God, I don't need you to do everything. All I need you to do is flip the switch and roll back the windows. God, if you'll roll back the windows, I'll take care of everything else. I'll take what you pour down on me, and I will make it what I need it to be. Somebody say fit faith. Revelation 3:16 says you're lukewarm. You hold the plow, you let go of the plow. You hold the plow, you look back. Those that are lukewarm, not cold nor hot, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Unfit faith versus fit faith. Faith that's not ready. Faith that's ready at one moment, not ready the next. Faith that needs assurance all the time. Faith, see, you're going to have to grow to the place of maturity that you don't have to have an amen corner to get something done. Because the amen corner might show up at church, but when you're out there in 105 degrees and you're plowing your row and you can't see nobody and you've got your little thermos of water out there and it seems like you're by yourself, are you going to quit? Are you going to dig in and say, God, I wish I had some help in here. I don't have any help, but God, as long as I keep my focus on you, as long as I keep my hand on the plow. Luke 9. Jesus talks to these three men very quickly. Praise team, come. If you come, you'll put some pressure on me to quit, maybe. Verse 57, it came to pass that as Jesus went in the way, just backtrack just a little bit. Go read verse 1. That's your homework this week. Read verse 1. It's where he calls his disciples, gives them power and authority over all devils, over all manners of sickness. That's what real disciples do. He calls them to him, and he empowers them, and then he unleashes them. Here in verse 57, it came to pass that as they went in the way, they being Jesus and his 12 disciples, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wherever you go. Talk is cheap. You got caught up with a miracle that Jesus did, and you said, yeah, I want to be a part of that team. Little did he know that 12 men had left their jobs, left their families, left everything that was comfortable to follow Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his hand. The first man, three things that stick out to me about him, he approached Jesus. Jesus didn't have to approach him. On his own accord, I'll follow you wherever you go, makes that loud declaration. Then Jesus discusses the sacrifice and we never hear from him again. He said, we're not staying at a Hilton every night. We're not eating at Ruth Chris every night. There's going to be days that you don't know where it's coming from, but as long as you're connected to me, it's coming. Then after he talks to that man, the second man shows up. Verse 59, he said unto another, now Jesus talks to the second man, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, one of the hardest, most ruthless things that Jesus has ever said to anybody in recorded history. This guy said, Jesus, I want to follow you, but my dad just died. I got to go back, handle business, put his affairs in order. And Jesus looked at him and said, let the dead bury the dead. It's hard for me to preach that Jesus. Jesus was not telling him to be cold and calculating. What he's saying is you can't plow and look back at the past. The number one enemy of your plowing and your fitted faith is the past, because you cannot plow a straight row as long as you're continually looking back saying, I wonder if my mom's taken care of. I wonder if the will was worked out right. I wonder what's happening to his possessions. Jesus simply said, let the past be the past. Let what is dead stay dead, because I'm leading you towards a resurrection. I'm leading you towards life. And the third man comes and says this, I'll follow you wherever you go. But first, I need to go bid those at my house a farewell. The second enemy of fitted faith, or faith that's fit for the kingdom, is plowless people. People that don't have a plow. People that don't want a plow. People that have a plow but won't plow. People that plowed for a time, then got busy, got sidetracked. One of the greatest enemies you can have is people that refuse to do their part in the process of their miracle, in the process of their abundance. See, when you look at this, it's so easy to grab hold of. But the devil does everything he can do to keep you from touching it. And then for the rest of his life and your life, he does everything he can do to make you let it go. But I believe there's somebody today that you're about to start plowing like you've never plowed before. You're going to start serving like you've never served before. You're not going to listen to the naysayers. You're not going to listen to the people behind you. You're not going to listen to the peanut gallery that's watching you. You're going to listen to the voice of God. And when God says, will you follow me? Like the 12, you're not going to make excuses. You're going to put your business affairs in order and say, you're going to take that business. You're going to do that for me. But I, in this moment of my life, am selling out to Jesus, and I'll never be the same. I need you to stand up on your feet right now. I need everybody in this building to get ready to grab the plow that is in front of them. I don't need you grabbing my plow, and I'm not going to grab your plow. But understand this, everybody in this room today, everybody watching by live stream, everybody that will listen to this podcast for the next 100 years, understand this. You have a plow that nobody else can push. You have a tiller that nobody else can handle. It is your job to put your hands on the plow, set your face like a flint, and never look back. And until you do so, the heavens are brass, they're closed. See, that's why it takes more than just a 2-minute prayer in church on Sunday. It takes plowing. It takes plowing. It takes pushing. It takes digging in. Man, since I grabbed hold of my plow, I've had best friends leave. And in those moments, I looked at them, and they didn't leave me. They left their plow. In those moments, it's really easy to want to go with them. But I allow those moments to further strengthen my resolve and say, God, I don't want to end up in also ran. I don't want to end up three men in the Bible in Luke chapter 9 that we don't know their names. They're supposed to be the 13th, 14th, and 15th disciple. No one knows who they are because they would not plow. No man or woman that has put their hand to the plow and looks back and takes their hands off of it is fit for the kingdom. There's two kingdoms there. There's the kingdom of God that is established on this earth, and there is an eternal kingdom. You said, Pastor Brandon, are you saying that people can get saved and be lost? I'm saying that anybody that backslides is never really saved. You say, how can you say that? Because if they had the experience that I've had, you can never go back. When I've seen Jesus like I've seen him, I can never let go. When he's met me in my tears and he's been on the summits of my success, I cannot let go and I cannot turn back. I'm out of time, but I want to talk to somebody right now. Chris is a plower. He plows the ground. I don't know why he chose to come up here, but I do know this. It doesn't matter why he chose. I don't have to know. You don't have to know. But I believe that, Chris, right now, God is strengthening your grip on that plow. That you could have turned loose years ago. You could have turned loose days ago. But here you stand. Brother Bermea, right now, God has you, sir. Your hands are firmly gripped around purpose. That plow contains. Vidi, right now, God has you. Talked to you last night. You are more secure in your purpose, and you have that plow. Don't ever look back. Don't look back to see who's keeping up with you. Don't look back to see how they're handling their plow. Look forward. Continue to plow, because as you plow, God is opening up the windows of heaven. Man, what an awesome, awesome outpouring so far. All these great men of God.